You're all welcome as usual to Bethel Baptist Church. We need to be thankful and grateful to the Lord that He has provided this wee place for us, that we can come and congregate in peace and security for the time being anyway. It's good that we can come together as brothers and sisters, and for a little while we can shut the world out and we can concentrate on the preaching of the Lord's word. And each and every one of us, I'm sure, every time we hear the Lord's word be spoken, or when we read it indeed and pray it in our own homes, it's a benefit for us. I would like to make a comment on yesterday's outreach in the town. It was a very successful day in the town, and it was good to see that such a small church as ours had many a friend to go out there. Yeah. I mean, there's bigger churches than ours, and if we get one that will go to the street and preach the gospel, then they are indeed blessed. But we are blessed with a special blessing that we've got a number in our small church. At least half of our church was on the streets yesterday preaching God's word. And that's a blessing. It was an experience yesterday too, because although I've been out giving tracts before, yesterday was the first time that I had the nerve and the courage to actually stand up and speak. And it was an experience. And it's an experience that that'll stay with me for a long time. First experiences are the experiences to stay with you forever, because it's your first experience and your first reaction to your first experience that determines where your future will go. I just found a young person yesterday where they were standing and giving out the tracts, where they were looking at, watching some of the people that you were with to give tracts to. You could tell as they approached you whether they were sympathetic towards you or whether they were hostile towards you. I mean, they have a way of putting expressions on their face that says, "Yes, I would like to hear what you have to say." They have an expression that says, "I'm not really interested." But the expressions that stuck most in my mind yesterday was the expressions that, "How dare you stand in the street and pass me this?" And there was those people who had those expressions in their face. There was also people who had an expression that looked straight through you as if you weren't there. And the thought came to me, or the thought came into my mind, of Paul, who had a certain, I'm not sure what part of Paul, but it's hard to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
And brothers and sisters, that's what was happening to some of the people yesterday on the street. They saw people in front of them who were willing to stand there, stand according to Jesus Christ, and try to pass on the word of God to their to them.
Mm-hmm.
And their own conscience pricked them.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done everything they could to ignore the conscience. And the best way to ignore your conscience is to deny that the messenger is standing in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing. But anyway, for all the, for all the things that went on yesterday, yesterday was a very successful day, because we had the men giving out tracts, and by God's will and by God's grace, a few of us had the courage to stand up and speak from our hearts. So there was a lot of people there yesterday. Some, indeed, wanted to hear what you were saying. There was a few people that actually stopped for a while and listened to what we were saying. But even though people passed by, and I noticed a few occasions that people would look at, particularly at the people who were speaking at the time, and they would have wee smiles on their face or wee smirks on their face. But nevertheless, that's not the important thing. The important thing is Whether people wanted to or not, yesterday the people of this town got the chance and the opportunity to hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's the important thing. There may have been even one soul that the conscience was so pricked that it will stop them in the stride and make them think. Now, one of the reasons I am standing here today is because years ago, there were street preachers. And even as a young child going to school, maybe 12 or 13, if I was that age, I would stop and listen to them. And even at that young age, I was sure to walk away, and the rest of the afternoon at school was picking up what was going on in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Am I living for Jesus Christ? Or is there anything I can do better? And when I was standing preaching yesterday, all these memories come back to me. That only a few yards from where I was standing yesterday, these preachers used to stand every week. Every weekday. Because I was able to hear them going back and forth to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grateful that somebody took the time then. Yesterday was grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would have been like then. But yesterday was grateful that there was somebody took the time to go out of their way to bring the word of God to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, down through my life I've been blessed enough that on various occasions I've met people who have brought to me the word of God. Now some of them, you know, had strange twists on the word of God. But the thing that impressed me was they were persistent in what they were doing. And another thing, they always left it up to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
To make up his own mind. True, they tried to brainwash him. But at the end of the day, the decision was yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful to those people, even the people that were preaching outlandish teachings on the Christian faith. I am grateful to them because through their persistence and, you know, preaching their own philosophies, it gave me the jizz to look under the Bible myself and see what the truth was.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I'm standing here today. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all that. And I just pray that in future, where church is small, but it seems to me at the present time in this town, this wee church is the only church that's taking the word of God for the people. And I pray in future that we will continue that. And through that, that the church will grow stronger. Not in numbers, but will grow stronger in strength and in faith.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to talk about tonight is being born again. And talk about the man called Jesus. And born again is a thing that's been bandied about by quite a number of different people. You know, you get these people that go around and say, I'm a born again Christian.
Right.
Ask them what they do, or ask them what they, how they are born again. Oh, I can speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
I can prophesy. I can put myself into trances. I can communicate with the Holy Spirit. Brothers, that is not a born again Christian. I don't know what it is, but it's not a born again Christian.
That's right.
A born again Christian is somebody who's come to a crossroads in their life and finally they've realized that the only future that they have in life is through Jesus Christ. Now that future starts maybe not with that realization there and then, that your only future is with Jesus Christ. That whole thing may start a time before. When in desperation, there's a whispered prayer. And in the whispered prayer, being sincere opens your heart. It opens your heart to God and to the Holy Spirit. Then God can start working on you. Now it may take months and it may take years. As a matter of fact, for myself, I took a few years. Because after I realized that hopefully there was other ways, and hopefully that if I was wrong, that God would let me know where I was wrong. So I started out in the search that eventually led me to where God wanted me to be. But it took a few years because I went from one group to another group to another group to another group. Praying all the time that this group I'm with at the present time would be the truth. And my search was ended. But it wasn't to be like that at all. But the night came when I realized that the only future that I had in life was a future through Jesus Christ. And on that night, I remember, I got on my knees. And I apologized to Jesus for what it was, for what I had done. I acknowledged my wrong in my life. I acknowledged my sins. And I admitted that without Jesus in my life, I was nothing. And I asked him from that night on to work his way in my life. And the feeling I got was if somebody had come along, stood behind me, and lifted a physical weight off my shoulders, because I could feel the lightness of spirit as I sat there and contemplated and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, that we can become born again. There's no other way. There's no other way. If we do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's nothing we can do to be born again. There's nothing we can do to gain salvation. Because everything that a Christian has comes through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. And the change has to come, brothers and sisters, not from without, but the change has to come from within. We are born again when the man inside changes, not the man on the outside. We change from the inside. Jesus, when he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, he tells them that, you know, they're like white as sepulchres, all clean and white without, but inside they are full of extortion and excess. They're putting on a facade. They like people to see them standing on the corners like this. They do everything to be seen to be done, but nothing has really changed inside. Inside they were the same as they ever were. They're hypocrites. They're telling you and me do this, but they themselves are not doing it. It's no good, brothers and sisters, if you have a cup or a plate and you've got a meal, there's no good you washing the outside of that cup and leaving the inside the way it is.
That's right.
Because the inside of it has the same bacteria left in it. So if you pour something else into that cup and you drink it, sooner or later you're going to be filled with bacteria that's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is if you live the inside, your soul still seeps in some.
Mm-hmm.
You must cleanse your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Not the outside. Get you nowhere. And the only way you can cleanse your soul, the only way that you can get rid of your sin, is through the blood sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Unless you accept that, there is no way that you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Yeah. On our own, we can't do anything, brothers and sisters. I put a wee flag on Facebook there a while ago and I copied it onto my own Facebook. It's just a wee flag saying, without Jesus, I am nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And brothers and sisters, that's exactly the way it is. Without Jesus, none of us are nothing. And none of us will ever be anything. Without Jesus in our life, the only thing we will be is cannon fodder for Satan and cannon fodder for the world. Jesus also tells us that unless our righteousness will exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees,
mm-hmm.
we would not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
So what is it we must do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, let you go to John chapter 3, verse 3.
Amen.
And this is what Jesus has to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And as we all know, Jesus spoke this to a man called Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
A righteous man under the law. A friend of Jesus. A man who came to Jesus to warn him that the scribes and the Pharisees in Jerusalem were working upon ways where they could arrest Jesus and put him to death. And for all his righteousness and for all his knowledge on the law, Nicodemus was falling short.
Mm-hmm.
Not too falling short.
Mm-hmm.
He still had to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent on his sins and take Jesus Christ not as a friend walking beside him but as his Savior and as his King.
Mm-hmm.
You don't become born again, like I say, in the flesh. The flesh is something that we are plagued with. And the only time that flesh will be changed is when we stand in heaven and our flesh is made perfect. We are born again in spirit, brothers and sisters, which means that we become a new creature in Christ. And to become a new creature in Christ, we have to put aside the old man,
mm-hmm.
our old ways. And we can't do this on our own. We need the help of Jesus Christ to do this. We need to ask Him. We need to invite Him into our hearts and ask Him to take over our lives. Let Him be our guide. Let Him be our everything. Remember, when we do that, Jesus has promised us that He holds us in His palm of His hand and no man can take us out of that hand. Because no man is greater than his Father. And his Father has given him the power.
Mm-hmm.
So we are safe in Jesus' hand.
Yeah.
But we will never have that safety, brothers and sisters. And we will never have that peace that passes all understanding. Unless we first go on our knees, admit our sin. Accept the salvation and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has won for us by His sacrifice on the cross. Acknowledge him as the loving, loving Son of God. Then we are safe for eternity. I'm just wondering how many times people have heard the phrase born again. And I'm wondering how many times that phrase has crossed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Born again. I'm sure they've asked themselves the question at times. Now what does that mean? But how many people have realized the importance of what being born again means? How many people have taken the time? They go, if they don't already have a copy of the Bible, they go and borrow or buy a copy of the Bible and look it up. Or I wonder how many people have approached a brother or a preacher and asked them, what's this born again business?
Mm-hmm.
Again, by the looks of the people that we saw in the town yesterday, there was very few. They know the phrase born again, but there was very few understood the phrase born again. Then again, there's a lot of people there in the town that have been brainwashed by the religions we belong to. Some of these religions actually preach you don't need to be born again. Some of these religions preach that we don't need Jesus Christ. That we can get our way to heaven by praying to Mary. Or praying to Joseph. Or praying to Patrick Peel. Or praying to the new saint, Pope John Paul. We don't need Jesus Christ. That's their teaching. And unfortunately, too many people have fallen for it. And the reason they have fallen is because not one of them has an inkling of what's written in God's Word.
Right.
I was just wondering how many homes in this town alone, and I know there's plenty, there's many, have copies of the Bible sitting on the shelves in a cupboard somewhere in a lovely box. And they pick them out now and again to show people, look what I have as a family heirloom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But a problem in a family heirloom, brothers and sisters, doesn't get you to heaven. But the contents, the words, and the family heirloom may lead you on the road to heaven. I've heard a lot of people saying from time to time, there are many roads to heaven. Brothers and sisters, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That is a confounded lie. There may be many roads to Jesus Christ, and I'm sure there are many roads to Jesus Christ, because many of our people have come from different religions and come to Jesus Christ. But there is only one road to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ. I would just like the quote from out here from it's Isaiah 53 and it's first verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, they don't mention a name there. But if you look at that, and then if you look at the New Testament, the New Testament shows that these words can apply only to one man, and one man only, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's right.
Through nobody else can we be healed. Through nobody else can we be born again. Jesus indeed is the only way to heaven, brothers and sisters. John 14 verse 16 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus himself saying, nobody comes to heaven. Nobody comes to the Father. I am the gate that you must go through. Not my mother. Not my stepfather. Not saying so and so and not saying so and so. Me and me alone. I am responsible for your entry into heaven. It was I who hung on the cross. It was my blood that shed and washed the world clean of its sin. Nobody else did that. All these rest in the main of the Bible are my servants. Mm-hmm. And the servant can only do as the master dictates him to do. Mm-hmm. But only Jesus Christ can lead us to heaven. Yeah. Another quotation, John chapter 11 verse 25. Jesus is speaking to Mary and Martha as he stood before the grave of Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that loveth and believeth in me shall never die. Another declaration by Jesus Christ that only through him can we have a life eternal, life everlasting. Finally, well, a final quotation, you know. Acts 4 and 12, chapter 4, verse 12. No other name under heaven by which we are saved. Again, doesn't mention a name. But when you read other passages from the Bible, mm-hmm. it makes it very clear.
Right.
Because of one passage in the Bible, I can't exactly remember what it was now, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Every tongue shall confess. Both living and dead, both believer and non-believer, shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All goes to prove, to show, that in order to be born again, we can only do it through Jesus Christ. In order to gain salvation, we can only do it through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In order to lead our lives where we are on earth in a Christ-like manner, we can only do it through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To be a good and faithful servant where we spend our time on this earth, we can do it only through the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We can have eternal life only through Jesus Christ. We can only resurrect on the day of resurrection only through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ is the first of the resurrection. His resurrection guaranteed us all that in faith we too shall have that resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
We too shall have glorified bodies. We too shall spend eternity walking with our own King, with his arm around us on the streets of heaven. And he'll be showing us, that's Moses over there, that's Isaiah over there, you want to have a wee talk to him? That's Joshua over there. And do you recognize that one over there? And you might not recognize that one. But by the grace of God, that woman of the city, do you recognize that person there? Maybe a soul that heard one word from you,
yeah,
or accepted a tract,
mm-hmm,
out of your hand.
Yeah.
And when Jesus explains that to you, that person is there because you initially led him on the path of Jesus Christ, then you can be sure that Jesus is going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be a Christian, brothers and sisters. It's hard to live the life of a born-again Christian. Because the world, the flesh and the devil will throw everything at you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you make that decision, once you get on your knees and you submit yourself to God, once you kneel at the foot of the cross and acknowledge and feel the blood washing away your sin, that's when you take on the greatest enemy in this world you'll ever have. You take on Satan, you take on the world, and you take on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, they are going to make as hard for you as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ will see you through.
Amen.
Keep the faith.
As
the Philippians tells us that they're not sure now. I can do all things through Jesus Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
And I stand here today, and that paragraph from the God's Word has helped me through many a troubled time. Many a time when I thought to myself, "Oh, I'm getting very weak here. I'm under severe pressure here." Those words, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ which strengthens me," has seen me through that crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only pray that as time goes on, my faith, comparing to some people we say, my faith is still very weak. But I pray every day that as time goes on, and as I feel and see Jesus working in my life, that strength will grow stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said it's hard to be loved as a Christian in today's world. You have a lot to contend with. But when you think that we have to contend with, the most we have to contend with at the moment is maybe somebody that gets offence coming up and having a bat in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus tells us, turn the other cheek. But put that up against what Jesus did for us. Jesus left the throne in heaven, didn't have to do it. Didn't have to do it. He left the throne in heaven. He came to earth and was born as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Rejected of men, despised, and afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
On the night before he died on the cross, he spent a couple of hours in the garden of Gethsemane. And he went through the passion there where he saw vividly what was about to happen to him in the next few hours. And bearing in mind that when Jesus took on the human form, he took on human frailties as well. He felt the pain that he was going to go through. He saw before him what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the anxiety was so great that he sweated drops of blood.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew at the end of it, he only had to keep faith with his Father, and he would be glorified. And so it should be the same with us. We know that every time we go to people with the Word of God, We don't know what's going to happen, what's going to be the reaction.
Right.
There are brothers and sisters in the world today that every time they go out, some of them do not return home.
Mm-hmm.
Their lives are taken because they stand up and speak for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't put them off. Their brothers and sisters will be out the next day doing the exact same thing.
That's right.
Because of the love of Jesus. And why should we love Jesus? Why should we love Jesus with a love that would constrain us, if necessary, to give up our lives? And I'll tell you why we should have that love, because He loved us first.
Mm-hmm.
While we were still sinners, He hung on a cross
mm-hmm.
and died for our sake. I sit and think sometimes at the home, you know, and imagine these three figures in heaven. Imagine God the Father sitting on the throne, and over on his side, Lucifer sitting, and on this side there's Jesus Christ. And every time that I go astray, and I go astray a lot of times, I'm no different to the person walking in the street. I'm as straight as he is. The difference is I put my trust in the Lord Jesus. They haven't. But I know that I still son. And I know that every time I son, Satan is going, ha ha ha. Maybe your servant's made a mess of it this time, hasn't he? Look what he's done. Hey, is that a good example for other people? But then I think about Jesus. And Jesus is leaning forward quietly and he's saying, Father, I've already paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, to use Brother Mark's call for words a few nights ago, Satan has told sling at her. You know? Jesus and the acceptance of his sacrifice, brothers and sisters, assures salvation for us all that cannot be taken away from us. And the great accuser, as he's known, can point the finger all he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is always there to be our advocate.
Amen.
Father. I would just like to finish off with I know most people do a reading at the beginning of the service, but I just left mine to the end tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 20, 32, if you'd like to go there. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be answered in the spirit of your mind, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye be put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one of another. Be ye angry and not sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiven one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brothers and sisters, that is the new creature in Christ. You become as much as you possibly can like Christ himself. And you know, Christ was all loving and Christ was all forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And to be true followers of Christ and to be truly born again, we can't be any less. So I pray, brothers and sisters, that the message tonight will have some benefits for you. Like I say, it physically was prompted by some of the experiences that we had in the town yesterday.
Yeah.
There was a lot of thoughts, I will honestly admit, that were in my mind yesterday that shouldn't have been there. When I seen some of the expressions on some of the faces, because the brothers and myself were trying to pass the word of God. But the fact is, you know, we got to remember those people have not been as blessed as we have so far. We've been blessed that the Holy Spirit has come into our lives and put us on the right path. Those poor souls out yesterday are still being dictated to and being brainwashed by religions that are teaching them by works shall ye enter the kingdom of heaven. And our job, brothers and sisters, is to pray for those people, and God willing, and with God's grace, spend as much time as we can on that time preaching the same word. And God has promised that his word will not return to him void. Should one soul come to the Lord Jesus Christ for all the effort, then that one soul is worth all the effort.
That's
right. Brothers and sisters, again, I thank you for your time. I hope the message will have helped you. It's an experience for me every time I come up here. Because when I come up here, when I go down there, I always remember that there was something that I'd said up here that I need to take account of myself. And I hope it has the same effect on you.
No.
Thank you for your time.